It is Monday, August 17th. This is Jen Yeager speaking with Shirley Giles, 10:15 in the morning at the Seldovia Museum. And this is a recording for Project Jukebox, In Our Own Words, the Seldovia Project Jukebox. And Shirley, you said you've been in Seldovia about 50 years?
I arrived April of 1963. I think it was 52 years this last April, or would that make it 51?
Oh, you're going to ask me to do math now. It'd be 52 years.
It was last April. It would have been 52 years. Yes, the year before the big earthquake.
So you just kind of had time to get to know Seldovia one way, and then everything changed.
Right. It was quite an experience for a young girl from the Midwest, I'll tell you, because that earthquake was a big one, as everyone knows.
Where in the Midwest? Where are you from?
Illinois.
And can you talk about what your first impressions of Seldovia were? Obviously, it was a very different place than Illinois.
I liked the looks of it, naturally, and I was prepared. The man I was married to had been living up here for quite a few years, and he came out to Illinois where his family was from, and he was visiting. We met, dated for quite a few months, got married, and he brought me up here. So I was a bit prepared for what to expect, but the whole town was built on a boardwalk. And that was very different, but it was very nice. It was just so different. And I have to admit, I was a bit homesick for a while. And then we had a 3.5-month-old little girl when we came up here. I got pregnant again, and after I had a little boy, and then I got pregnant again. While I was pregnant the third time, I went out to Illinois and spent quite a few months, and my third child was born out there. And I was so anxious to get home, and after that I was never homesick again. I really had fallen in love with Alaska, as I found out most people do. A small percentage can't handle it, but most of us love it.
And you mentioned the boardwalk being really wonderful.
Well, the town had a closeness then, and of course the town is so small that it's still close. But things have really changed. And like one woman made the comment to me once that you used to walk down that boardwalk in the middle of the afternoon and you'd see someone and say, gee, I'm going to cook some moose steaks later. Why don't you come over and have some? And she jokingly said, now you have to receive an engraved invitation or send an engraved invitation to invite people over. And of course, it's not that extreme, but it shows that Seldovia's changed like every other place. So, and there were four canneries here, I believe. My memory's a little shaky at times, too. But I think there were four canneries here when I moved here. And if I remember it correctly, there was a shrimp plant, a crab plant, and two salmon. Or was it two crab, a salmon, and a shrimp? I get them mixed up anymore. Wakefield's was one of the crab plants. And you'd have to go do some more research to get the rest of the names correct. Some of them are in my head, but I don't know if I have them all straight or not anymore. Mm-hmm.
And did you ever work in the canneries?
No, I didn't. As I was a stay-at-home mother those years, I was young and having children.
Three little ones, I suppose.
Three little ones, and my oldest little girl was a handicapped little child, and so she was a beautiful little girl. But so yeah, I was busy.
And then were you here when the earthquake hit?
Yes, I was.
What was that experience like?
It's hard to explain. And we were getting ready to go out to a family's house for dinner, a friend's house for dinner. It was Good Friday. And my son was about 5 weeks old. So I just had the two. I had the two children then. I hadn't had the third one. And my husband was in the shower, and I was sitting on our couch, I remember. And I felt like it was just starting to rock and roll. And I thought, my Lord, the washing machine's out of balance. And then I realized the washing machine wasn't running. And I thought it would have been not quite that bad anyway. So, but yeah, it was an experience.
And then how about the aftermath? I know a lot of people went up to the school and
we did.
Took shelter up there.
Yeah, we went up there. And some people were up high. They could stay in their homes. But we were up there for quite a few hours. And I do believe when that big surge hit, that there was a tidal wave, and our tide was out when it hit our harbor. And I do believe, I can't say for sure, but a lot of people said if it the tide had been in, we may have lost our harbor like Kodiak did, and Valdez was, and Seward, they were hit very hard. And the whole downtown of Kodiak, I guess, was rearranged. So, and I don't have all the facts and figures, but I believe our land sunk a few feet, and that caused quite a few problems.
And did you live right on the boardwalk?
No, I didn't live on the boardwalk. During the spring of the year and the fall of the year, you have these really high tides, and if there's a lot of wind behind them, they're even higher, and some of the water would come up over the boardwalk and into some of the buildings along the boardwalk.
Before the earthquake or afterward?
No, this afterwards. Was after right. this mm-hmm. happened. And then I don't know exactly when the cannery started moving out, but eventually we were left with just one, and that was Wakefield's. And then, of course, they took, I don't know if it was in 64 or 65, they started taking, revamping part of the town. Urban Renewal did. So.
And what was that process like, watching the town kind of be taken apart?
Well, that was also very interesting, and in some ways it was very sad. And it caused a lot of animosity. People that had been friends for years became bitter enemies for a while, and because some people felt that Urban Renewal should not come in and do anything, and others said it has, they have to come in and do something. And I don't know what to tell you, if it benefited or not. I thought maybe in some ways it did, mm-hmm. Where I live, that area over there, if I'm facing right, do you know where my house is? Well, this area right here, where the Madfish restaurant mm-hmm. and all the houses, Andy Anderson, I live next door to Andy Anderson, and that whole area, Gagels, Smith, that was a hill, Caps Hill. And Urban Renewal Project took that hill for fill for other parts of the town. And then for a long time, it just was one big flat area. And then people finally started selling the lots, and people started building there.
That took well into the 70s, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
I know Hugh Smith, I think he came in 1973, and he said it kind of looked like a parking lot in the middle of town.
Yeah.
When he first came.
And now that with all the houses, I used to call it Seldovia's subdivision. It's right smack in the middle of Seldovia.
So that's certainly a change, if that used to be kind of on the edge.
Yeah, again, I don't know if it was so much the edge of town, but it was just a big hill,
Oh, okay.
And it was, to take that out, I don't know. In the long run, I really do not know if the town is better off. The town was a fishing village. I still call it a fishing village, and it isn't anymore, I know that. And that's what sustained the town, and they lost all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's change. I mean, that's the cycle of life, and I call Seldovia a bedroom community. Like, you have a lot of them outside the cities, but it's just not on the road system. That's my mm-hmm. description.
But you obviously chose to stay.
Yeah. I've raised my children here. I've had four children altogether. I've raised mm-hmm. them all here, mm-hmm. and Seldovia is a beautiful place. It really is, and interesting people moved to Seldovia, and I think a sharp group of people have moved here off and on through the years. We've had people that are interested in improving the town, and they're just sharp, good people, mm-hmm.
Yeah, who are some of the people that really stand out in your memory from the different ages of Seldovia that you've experienced?
Well, I guess Susan and Jack English, because Susan was from here, mm-hmm. and Jack was from Canada, and they had a business here in New Stan, and she was the postmaster for years and years, and they were very active in the community. They would be one couple. Who else? The man who is no longer with us, and his name was Steve Zawistowski. I don't know if you've ever heard his name.
I have heard his name, because I think he worked a lot with Frederica de Laguna.
Well, I don't know, but he
could have.
And
I believe his house is still there.
Oh, yes, that house. That house is a Sears house. And people are real surprised when they hear it. I was surprised. And, it's still here.
Yeah, and I've heard his name a lot, but I haven't heard much about him or anyone that really knew him. So if you have
Well, you know, Esther Inhout knew him very, very well. And my husband, Leslie, knew him quite well. And Pierre did. But Steve was quite the storyteller. Mm-hmm. They said he always seemed to know when a woman was taking a pie out of the oven. Because he was tall and skinny. And he loved to eat. And so when he came by the house, you always offered him something. But he just had a knack. He knew when you had just taken a cake or a pie or cookies out of your oven, you know. But he was an interesting person.
How long was he? I don't know how long he lived.
You know, I do not know how long he was here because he was living here. He and his wife were living here when I moved here. Mm-hmm. Then they spent their winters. They would drive outside and most of the winters down below, and they would come back, you know, for the spring and summer, and he fished. But what year he came up here, I do not know. You'd have to talk to some other people that would. Darlene Crawford might know. Mm-hmm. Johnny. Exactly when he came.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Gruber?
Well, Johnny might, but Johnny. Johnny Crawford.
Oh, Johnny Crawford, okay.
Yeah. God, there's so many people that are gone. Mm-hmm. I do not know if he lived, I don't think he lived in Halibut Cove. I don't know if he, fox farming and Steve's go together in my mind, but I can't go beyond that because I'm afraid if I start talking, mm-hmm. I'll tell you some things that aren't really facts.
Okay.
But he was very interesting. If you could find someone that could tell you more about him, I think it would be worth listening to them.
Okay. How about some of the other folks that you remember?
That lived here. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a family. One of the first family I met probably were Lynette and Dick and Gleema. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody's mentioned them to you or not.
I know their names.
Right. And her parents were from Wales.
Oh, really?
Okay. And they had a grocery store here. And Dick, she met at college. He was from New York. And they met at UAF, I do believe. I'm not sure if it was UAF or a school outside Gonzaga, maybe. I don't know, because I think they went to both. But they made me feel very, very welcome. They eventually, after the earthquake, they moved to Homer. Mm-hmm. And had a grocery business over there also. And they're both gone. Also now, but very nice family. Mm-hmm. But just another man and his wife is still living. She's in Anchorage, Chuck and Candy Hendricks. Mm-hmm. And he's from Illinois. He was a friend of Pierre's and Tuggle Inhout's. She's from the state of Washington, I believe. But he's no longer living, but he was the superintendent of Wakefield's Cannery when I moved here. And I never knew her real well. I vaguely remember Elsa Peterson, who was the bookkeeper at Wakefield's Cannery at the time. And I do not know if anyone's mentioned Elsa Peterson mm-hmm. to you. She wrote had published children's books.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have her, The House Upon a Rock.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think we've got that in our library.
We have quite a few in our library, most mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. So, in your library here,
in
you
the
mean?
Museum library.
Library, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and speaking of the library, you know, Susan English is associated very strongly with the Seldovia Library, but you also ran the library for a long time, I think,
Well,
right?
Yes, I did. And when I moved here in 63, one of the first things I did is I knew they had a library. It was open 2 hours a week, one night. And so the first week I was here, I went and found it in this little hole in the wall, you know. And, mm-hmm.
And where was that?
Well, it was just off the boardwalk, and the building itself, I cannot remember for sure, but I think upstairs it might have housed the city offices, and I think the morgue was in that building also. You know, they had to have a place when somebody passed away to mm-hmm. to store a body before they could take it out of town.
Was that the building that I think Jack English may have had his offices in it?
No.
Okay.
That was that. The building I remember was the one that over now that's parked, that's over in back of Diane and Johnny's house.
Okay.
But it was in a different spot, and they moved it.
For Jack's office, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where were we on this?
The library.
Because I've always been, I worked in a children's department part-time when I was 19, but I have a library in a town I lived in, but I've always been a reader ever since I learned to read. And so I gravitate towards libraries, and I got pretty well acquainted with Susan, and I don't know how long I lived here, probably a few years, couple years, and she asked if I'd like to help her once in a while in the library, and that's how my volunteer work started. And of course it was just once a week, and I can't even remember if I went every week. And then the earthquake occurred, the land sunk, and the boardwalks taken out, and there was no library for quite a while because they had to move it. Well, no, they did move it to a different location. And I can't remember if it was open more than one night a week at that point either, but I was doing more and more for Susan. And this is mid to late 60s. And then I became a member of the board, and that would be in the 70s. And I just became more and more involved and helped her. And she did a good job. And of course, there was no technology then. But she did a pretty fair job. She had always had a really good selection of books in that small place. Quite an inventory. And a very good Alaskana section. And it's gotten better through the years. In 1979, we moved into what we are in now. That section of that whole building was the only one that was there. And it was built with a library, small library grant. And I just started working more and more, and then Susan became quite ill as the years went by, and I just slowly took over, and people were happy with me. So, and it's been at least 6-7 years since I turned over the directorship to somebody else, at least that. This is 2015. I don't know if it was 2008, 2008, 2009. I just don't remember. Sure, I'd have to go back and check myself.
Okay, but you ran it for quite a number of years.
Oh, then. Yes, mm-hmm. I did. And I'm still on the board and keep my hand in a little bit.
So where was the library kind of between post-earthquake and pre-current?
There was a building, and it was called the Lipke Building, and there was a Miss Tyndall Lipke. She had a notion store. She had a few clothes. She had buttons and thread and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. So not Alice Lipke, this was a different...
Tyndall
Lipke, different person.
Yeah. And the one side of it, the city, I don't know if they took over this building. They had to move it back a little bit. And it was where the clinic is right now, but facing Front Street or facing Main Street. You know, everything was so different. You think back, it's hard to remember how it was. And the one side was used for the library, and the other side was used for the council meetings. And this is during the whole urban renewal process, you know, and then the town was being revamped. And
so that was a building that was, you said it was moved.
It was moved back. It was pretty much where it was. I think it was positioned pretty much where it was positioned on the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. But I believe, if I remember correctly, it was moved back some. And then there were apartments up above. And was the old clinic. The doctor and his wife, when they moved to town, Larry and Cheryl Reynolds lived upstairs in an apartment. And, of course, they were in the old hospital at that time. That's something else that's interesting. My daughter, Jill, Leslie's and my daughter, Jill, was born in that hospital.
Oh, really?
And there were a few others a couple years later, the next year and the following, I think, that were. But she was one of the last babies born in that hospital.
And what was the hospital like? How many patient rooms? And
well, there were, like I maybe, where there were two, were there two patient rooms? And then, of course, the room where the babies were delivered and that sort of thing. And then there was an examination room, and the living quarters were downstairs. And then there was the office where the doctor would talk to you. But, you know, I can't remember exactly all of it anymore. All I know, it was a very nice, quiet little place to have a baby.
Was there a doctor here full-time at that time?
Well, Larry was here.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Reynolds came, did he come in 74, 73?
Right around then, I think. And before him, had there been a full-time doctor, or was it...
Off and on. There was a woman that was here for quite some time, Dr. Millie, we called her, and I do not remember her last name. Her husband was a commercial fisherman. And then we had doctors off and on.
So that was a little bit of a change to have a doctor actually living in the community?
Yeah. And before I moved here, there had been doctors here on a pretty steady basis. And they weren't here forever. But to have somebody come in and stay as long as Dr. Reynolds did was really, it was wonderful, really. It was just nice.
And so you said the living quarters were downstairs, but he also mentioned that he and Cheryl lived upstairs above the library building.
Yeah, they did not live down there. Do you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but because there were living quarters down there. But they had an apartment above to the Lipke store.
The Willards are the only people that have lived there. He bought it as a private building, right?
He bought the building, yes.
He bought it as a hospital. And
he bought it really to live in as a home, you know. He bought it. So, and that family still owns it.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry passed away quite a few years ago, and his wife is living in Anchorage now, I do believe.
One of the other things that I always have wondered about is how not having access to the beach, not having the beach kind of through town, how that has changed things. Because, of course, now the fill kind of buried the section of beach that was all along Sildovia before.
You know, that's true. I've never... it did change it. But I honestly, I just couldn't tell you just exactly how.
Well, and of course, you weren't here that long before everything
changed. Right. Mm-hmm. All I know is that there was no boardwalk there for the kids to go play under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of kids say that was really a good playground, being underneath there. Do you remember hearing kids running when you were...
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It was it was interesting. And I'm glad they've been able to preserve some of the boardwalk, which they have. And I do not... In some way, maybe the town did improve. And you have the ferry system coming in, and you've got all these cars. See, when I moved here, nobody had their... there weren't any vehicles here. There was one small truck that hauled oil, to deliver oil around.
Mm-hmm.
And that truck had to run on the boardwalk, so it couldn't be very big. And I'm sure there must have been a few cars around. And then once the boardwalk was taken out and the roads were built, then more and more vehicles started showing up. Well, look at the town now. I mean, sometimes there's even a traffic jam at noon by the post office. And with the ferry system, you need cars. Mm-hmm. So in that way, maybe that's improved the town. I don't know.
Would you say that was a gradual change as people switched from walking everywhere to cars?
I think
it happen fairly quickly?
To me, it happened gradually. But then all of a sudden, you wake up one day and say, my heavens, there's all these vehicles. And you know there have been problems with people buying property over there on the slough. And people from out of town, it's a summer place. And then they're parking out right in front of their house. And some of them have wanted to close that road that goes all along the slough, make it one way. Well, that didn't fly. Well, those roads were walking paths at one time. They were not meant to be for cars. So things like that, the cars coming in, things change. And I don't know how they would, the only way they could improve that is to people to sell their property, I guess, on the one side, and then make wide roads. Well, that's not going to happen, and it shouldn't. You can't expect people to do that. I mean, I'm stumbling over my words. One interesting thing about Sildovia, and maybe a lot of small places, the people come in and buy some property, and they have it surveyed, and they realize that their property goes into the middle of the road, sometimes there's not much they can do about that, especially if it's been a road for 100 years, you know. And it's really interesting. And you mentioned the icy conditions.
It's always been kind of an adventure in the winter here.
Oh, yes. And, it'll warm up some, and then the temperature drops. and it ices up overnight. And yeah, you can have some really hairy experiences.
How about the road that used to, until very recently, you could at least go up as far as Red Mountain, but up until, I think not too many years ago, you could actually go down, you know, out to the southern end of the Southern Peninsula and just go for a Sunday drive. I've heard a lot of people talk about how, when that road went in and then washed out again, how did that kind of change things?
Well, I don't know if it left fewer places that people were used to going to and they couldn't go out there anymore. And when the logging outfits came in, you know, years ago, you know, they were used all the time, you know, and then the switchbacks, they were like this. But, you know, it definitely changed things. Because you can't go. You can go to Red Mountain, but you can't go much beyond that right now.
You can't even go to Red Mountain anymore, at least not in a car.
Right,
you can still go but get there by foot.
And probably ATV.
If you're careful.
If you're careful, right.
Right. Yeah. And skilled.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the population outside of Saldovia is about, you probably know what the population is better than I do. Is it 200 and something?
I keep hearing 150, 270, somewhere around there. So was it pretty common for people to use that road, to just go for a drive? Or?
Well, not years ago, but it became more and more common. Then, of course, as the years went by, all the land, people were buying land and building these homes that they would spend some of their summer months in. And my husband and his brother have been clearing some property for the Johnson boys. Their house, the Johnson property, is just a few miles out. And the house burnt down last year. And Leslie and Doug are taking some of the trees down for them. And we're using the wood. We're taking the wood and cleaning it up. And Leslie's been out there getting wood this last week. And he said, he's been out there before doing it. He said, and I was out there the other day. The traffic. And we just not living on that road, you don't realize it. And we take a ride out there, there's traffic, but just doop, like a freeway. It is a busy, busy area out there. Very busy.
It is about 10:50 on August 17th, and we are continuing our conversation with Shirley Giles. And I wanted to ask you just a little bit about raising kids here. And so your kids would have gone to Susan B. English School when it started, thereafter?
And before that.
Okay.
My oldest child is a handicapped little girl, and she never attended the school. But younger brother and sister did. And the old school was still going at that time. We didn't have the new school. But they were running out of room, and so they had these trailers that they used for, I know, first and second and possibly third and fourth grade. And then the project was on for a new school. And even the borough superintendent and people that worked with him would come down to town meetings. And they were such a nice, I remember two men. Walt Hartenberger was one, and I can't remember the name of the other, but they fought for Saldovia. And there were some communities on the peninsula that the attitude was, why does Saldovia need a new school? And these men really were all for us having one. But the one thing the community wanted was a swimming pool. And they were adamant about it. And it was going to cost extra money. And, of course, you have to get these grants and the funding for the schools, bond issues, after he passed. And so what they did was they turned the gym, the existing gym, into a shop area. And that way they were able to include a pool with the gym. You know, there was you've been up to the school. There's the gym and then there's the pool.
Okay.
And that's, I think, one way they were able to afford to have a swimming pool.
Okay.
Because
so that was
they used the existing, what was the gym at that time for our shop. And I can't remember exactly what year we moved into the school. The new one, but the kids have taken such good care of it through the years. It was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 1971 or 72.
That's probably right. Mm-hmm. And I think they've taken very good care of that school. They've really been proud of it, I think, you know. And
Yeah, a visitor who was here last week who hadn't seen it before said, oh, you have a new school. I said, yes, 40 years ago.
Yeah, right, right. So.
And so what was that like, the differences between the old one and the new one? I think the one before that was built in the 50s sometime.
It might have been even earlier than that, but I know there were some of the classrooms that the pipes were exposed, you know the mm-hmm. plumbing okay. pipes, different, and maybe heating elements. I just don't remember, but mm-hmm. No, it was quite different, believe me. It was a wonderful thing to have happened to the town, and we deserved it, you mm-hmm. know.
And so did they use the pool
oh,
as
yeah.
part of the curriculum? Did
oh,
kids
yeah.
have swimming lessons? And
they even had a swimming pool for a couple of years, and then they had to do some maintenance for a year, and I don't think they ever had a swimming team after that again, but no, the pool's been used extensively. Because the town, the people thought it was very important for the kids to learn how to swim. Very important.
Because there had been some people lost because they didn't know how to swim, right?
Yeah,
in a community,
not
of
many,
course,
but
so,
it happened, yeah.
So water-based is this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So did the teachers teach swimming, or did they bring in people, or...?
I think that, you know, I do not know. I think the gym teacher taught, and I think okay. that a lot of people in town knew how to swim. A lot of, you know, most people do know how to swim. Mm-hmm. But I think they probably always had gym teachers that knew how to, that I don't remember a whole lot about that.
Okay.
And then there are some kids that I think learned when they went visiting, maybe grandparents. Now, some of the kids knew how also. They'd okay. go on vacations to mm-hmm. Lower 48 or somewhere, or maybe to Anchorage they'd mm-hmm. go, but some did know how to swim.
Okay.
So, but the school as a whole was really good. They had a good home ec department, and some of the members of the community helped with that also. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of seamstresses in town. And then one year, quite a few years ago, the home ec department had me come up there, and one evening I demonstrated how to, and it wasn't just for the kids, it was for, I think, there were adults there too, how to knead bread, and that's been so long ago, I barely remember that evening, but.
Yeah, has the school always been kind of the center of the community?
Yes, mm-hmm. And I think all the schools in Alaska are kind of bent that way. It becomes a community center as well as the school, you know, mm-hmm. and the K through 12. When two of my kids were, I would guess, fifth and sixth or sixth and seventh grade, maybe, I think, I could be wrong, but I think there were as many as 170, 165, 170 kids in the school.
So that would have been sometime in the early 70s, probably?
Mid to late 70s, maybe.
Okay.
I could be wrong on the figures, but now it's been in the 40s. I was told recently that it might be more this year.
Yeah, I think this year, I think it's going to be somewhere in the 40s, but we have 12 seniors this year.
Wow, that's going to be a change.
That is going to be a huge change. And that's, I think, the biggest class Seldovia has seen in some time.
Probably a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
The year that my son started kindergarten was the first year they had kindergarten here.
Oh, really?
And they had it, there was no, they were, see, they were still in the old school. And they used what was then the Methodist Church, and it's now, and then it became SCIAP.
Okay.
And then, you know what building I'm talking
yes.
about? It's
yes.
And this a man by the name of Greg Davis owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they had the kindergarten. There were 22 students in that class, and there were four girls. And there were two sets of twins.
Really?
In this little town, mm-hmm. yes. That was very unusual,
mm-hmm.
very unusual. They weren't all here by the time they all graduated from high school, but yeah, it was a pretty big class. But 12 kids next year, great. And a lot of them are musicians, too.
Yeah, I think
they're
Seldovia's
good.
Got a pretty good
oh my.
Musical group for being
they're impressive.
Young kids. How about 4th of July? That seems like another thing that's been a real long tradition
always,
here.
Always. And, of course, when I moved here, in fact, I have a snapshot of a couple of them. of my husband and two of the kids. I just had two of them that were walking along the boardwalk on the 4th of July because it took place on the boardwalk. Then up by the old school,
okay.
Some of the booths were. Mm-hmm. I remember that one year because I worked at one of the booths. But it's always been a big event here. And then I remember one year it was out. The whole thing was on the outside beach. And that was a long, 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 long time ago. Mm-hmm. So long that my kids, you know, my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter and I wasn't even in the picture. It's mm-hmm. so many years ago.
Do you remember why they had it out there? Was that because of all the construction in town, perhaps?
You know, I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was just a nice place to have it, mm-hmm. which it was. But it's always been a big event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun.
Yeah, I would imagine the boardwalk would be awfully crowded. Try and get a parade snaking through the people there.
Yeah, but they did it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, and it's still, a lot of people still show up for it, but there have been years there have been far more mm-hmm. than, I've noticed that it's, the amount of people have slowed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But still, Dubuque is well known for its 4th of July.
Oh, it seems like a lot of the events have been fairly constant.
Yes, because I worked at the library book sale, mm-hmm. and it was raining that day, and mm-hmm. I went home right afterwards, and the parade usually goes in front of my house, so I just mm-hmm. sat out on my front porch and watched the parade go by, but I never did go join in anything this mm-hmm. year. And I asked somebody if they had the log rolling or the canoe jousting, and one of them they did have. Mm-hmm. Some years they've had both.
What are some of the other events that you remember?
Well, the children's games, and then the one thing, and I don't think they've had it for quite a few years, but it's I don't even know what you call it, but you've got to go up this pole, and it's, what do they put on?
It's like a greased pole.
A greased
pole.
They
put lard or something in, maybe.
Yes, and they used to have that, and mm-hmm. I don't think they've had that for a few years. And like I said, there's always the children's games, and mm-hmm. there's always been a lot of food booths, and I understand there weren't too many. It wasn't too many of that this year either. So I figured the restaurants must have done a land office business. But a lot of food booths. Mm-hmm. And the hot dogs were very popular. The Hospital Guild always sold hot dogs every mm-hmm. 4th of July. It was a moneymaker, the hot dogs.
Yeah.
But there were all kinds of food, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun time. And then sometimes they would have street dances. And so there was a time when there were three bars in Seldovia.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember 4th of July, it fell on a weekend. And so therefore it was busy from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. And there was live music in all three bars.
Really?
Yes. And it was quite a weekend. And it was mm-hmm. fun, mm-hmm. you know.
Some of the bars that I've heard names of were the Night Spot and the Polar Bar.
The Polar Bar.
And, of course, the Linwood's been around for a long time now.
Yes. The Polar Bar was here when I moved here. I was on the boardwalk. The Surf Club.
Okay.
And the Linwood. I think they were all on the boardwalk. Was there another one besides? There was the Surf Club, the Linwood, the Polar Bar. I don't know what year the Night Spot, the Lodge came along. The Night Spot, I don't know what liquor license they bought. It would have had to have been the Polar Bars or the Surf Clubs or one mm-hmm. of those kept passing hands, I'm sure. But that building in the middle of town that used to be a grocery store, it's mm-hmm. empty now. The one end of it, the people that bought it, that built it, that were running it, they put a restaurant and a bar at the end of it. And the man's name, his last name was Knight, his family. Mm-hmm. And they called the bar part the Night Spot.
Okay.
And there was a restaurant with it that his brother ran.
Do you remember the name of the restaurant?
I don't know if it was called the Night Spot. It might have been, but I don't really remember. It was open all day. I don't think it'd be called the Night Spot, but
yeah. And then the lodge you mentioned, was that the Neumeyer's place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And had anyone else run that, or was that just Freddie and Millie?
No. I don't remember the name of the people that bought it. They were from Anchorage.
Okay.
And they had it for a while. Then there was a couple that lived here that managed it for the people that owned it. Their name was Cope.
Okay.
And I don't know if they owned it. I mean, ran it 1 or 2 years. And of course, it was remodeled. And I do not remember if it was open for business when it burned down. And the gentleman I mentioned earlier, that Greg Davis, he owns that property. And I have no idea what he plans to do with it.
So Freddie and Millie never actually ran it? Is that right?
They owned it.
Oh, yeah, for years and years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was
thinking. Oh, yeah, he was the cook.
They've been there for a long time. I've heard stories about his
cooking.
Oh,
I'm sure. Yeah. he cooked. It was a popular place, though, I'll tell you. Interesting. Now there's one bar, and then, of course, they sell liquor to take out, too. But then I understand, and there's another bar, not a bar, a liquor store in town, isn't there?
One that just opened.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know. That liquor license was with a store, I think. Isn't that the one that
I
was bought?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so.
So would you say Seldovia right now is, you know, we've got a couple of restaurants. You mentioned the Linwood. Obviously, the post office continues to function.
Yeah.
And the Crab Pot, which is the grocery store, and the Fuel and Lube. Would you say that level of business has been fairly steady the last few years, or would you say that we're kind of a little lower or a little higher than what you've seen recently? Or
you mean the business they take in?
In terms of the number of businesses open to the public.
Oh, the number of businesses. Well, they've been, I would say, pretty much the same for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for years we had two grocery stores. For many years. And we had a lot more gift stores just not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wintertime, I don't think there's any gift stores open. And I don't even know if this one's open. Is it in the
wintertime? We're open a couple days a week.
A couple days a week. Mm-hmm. That's where I see the change, mm-hmm. the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time now, but the last few have been just, even for me, and I'm 76 years old, and I like quiet, and I like my solitude, but the town's too quiet in the winters.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do have an active library, which is good, a well-equipped library.
Mm-hmm.
The school's very active, and so that keeps the town. And it is amazing the things to do around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken part in the city now owns the building that was the Boys and Girls Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is called SOCC.
Right. That's the Outer Community Center.
Right. And they're quite active, I understand. So for such a small, small place, there is a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. And has that always been that way?
Yes, it has been. And then, of course, there's the ladies that have the yoga classes. There's
mm-hmm.
the exercise room that's SVT or SNA.
SVT.
SVT has. At least a person doesn't have to be completely idle,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they want to get out and do things, you know. I always, it would be easy to stagnate in Seldovia, any small place.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just say, thank heaven I'm a reader, because
mm-hmm.
you don't have to stagnate no matter where you go. You don't have to. And then, of course, with satellite TV, it's just, everything's out there for you.
Probably
maybe too much.
Yeah. And I know Seldovia used to have, was it the fuzzball?
Oh, yes.
And was that a winter event?
That was a winter event.
Okay.
And they didn't always have that. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's something that came about in the 70s. But it was
mm-hmm.
really active. And it mm-hmm. was to raise money for the police department.
Right.
And a lot of the people in town took part, but they had what they called the not quite ready for prime time talent show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was
mm-hmm.
hilarious. It
mm-hmm.
was funny. And the people that took part in it, it was fun. There's a group that does a little bit in the winter anymore, but nothing
mm-hmm.
that comes close
mm-hmm.
to that.
Yeah.
It went on for quite a few years.
Who were some, I'm assuming that some of the same people performed every year.
Yeah, but they're gone. So many of them are gone.
Yeah.
And there's one, there's a woman Pam Miller's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Allison and Amanda
mm-hmm.
Miller? Their mother. And then, of course, they lived here. She was married to Mike. And Christine Kashverov. You've
mm-hmm.
met, or
mm-hmm.
you know Christine.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do a skit that was, one of them was called something or other, Slew. And I don't know what the other one named herself, but they were dressed up like babushkas on their head and maybe oil skins. I do
mm-hmm.
not know. And they had an act with with whatever. I can't even remember. It was just funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have the accents and like, I don't know if they were fishermen's wives or just who they were supposed to be, but they were hilarious. And they're both funny anyway when they get going. They have good senses of humor.
Any other kind of events that the town had? You know, and I guess I'm especially interested in the wintertime when things were, you know, a little quieter and not as much fishing going on.
That's probably the biggest thing I can remember for the wintertime. There was an event that they had the last one the year before I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
They used to celebrate the Russian New Year's. And they had a costume ball. And then they would send the old year out.
Mm-hmm.
And the new year would come in, you know, and they mm-hmm. would get that in. But I never saw that.
Okay.
But I guess it was quite an event, and mm-hmm. a lot of people attended. And the old year would be some adult member, or the new year, some adult member of the community, but he'd be dressed in a diaper, you know, because
okay.
it's a new year.
Any Russian traditions that you remember happening? I know the church was probably starting to get kind of quiet around then.
I think they still continued some as years went by, but they went around with the star.
Mm.
They mm-hmm. used to do that too up until, and I think it's been years and years since mm-hmm. they've done that.
But they did that when you still lived here.
I don't remember if they did or not.
Okay.
I think because they had that the big celebration the year before I moved here was the last one, and that might have been the last time they went around with the star. I think they probably in Nanwalek and. Don't they in Port Grand? They do that,
still
don't
do
they?
It, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk with me today.
Well, I hope
really
I sounded intelligent enough. And
well, you know, as you said, you've got 52 years of experience here that no one else does. So we really appreciate you sharing it with us.
Well, thank you.